time for Money News with our man from AMP, Shane Oliver. He's on the line right now. Shane, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, Luke. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Chief Economist with AMP. Well, it's been an interesting weekend. It's been an interesting day yesterday, Monday. The Optus CEO, Kelly Bayer Ross Marin, has fallen on her sword. She's resigned. She says it's in the best interest of the company following that nationwide outage. Of course, Optus had another big hiccup last year. Did she have to go?
Look, to be honest with you, I think it was inevitable. She had flagged, or there were media reports that she was thinking of going last week before that Senate hearing. And then, of course, it all seemed that that would be the case. But I think, yeah, you could argue Optus probably needs a reset after what's happened. You know, they've had two major problems. I think there is a broader lesson in there for Australian companies. And, of course, we hear this lesson repeated regularly that obviously companies will have problems every so often, but you've got to get the comms right around that. And that was also seen as a big issue here. And, of course, Optus is something that many of us rely on. I think 40% of users were affected by it in some way. So even my iPad is on Optus, it affected me there for a little while there, but I've got my phone on Telstra. Diversification, I call it.
But, do you know what got me? One, I don't know whether she had to go or not. I'm not as savvy on these issues as you are. But I thought that the comeback, I thought the explanation to the 10.2 million customers was really poor. Waiting until 10.30 before going on Melbourne radio, when the thing happened at 4 o'clock in the morning, I knew about it when Trevor Long rang me, and yet we didn't get an official, and I guess if it's technical, an explanation is going to be tough, but at least the face of Optus coming on every morning television show and breakfast show saying, listen, we know there's a problem. We're working it out. Relax. We're onto it. She should have at least done that.
That's right. I mean, there seems to have been communication issues, problems within Optus. But, you know, when people get up in the morning, 6 a.m. sometimes, 4 a.m., whatever it is, that's when the outage started, I think, 4 a.m. And they find their system's not working, and then if they can't check out how to what's going on, at least they can turn the radio on and find out, well, this is what's going on.
At least we know Optus is on top of it. At least we know they're sorting it out. And I'm not alone. The outage is everywhere. I've just heard the CEO on Triple M, and I know that they're working on it. I think the response was really, really bad. And these large companies, they have media people. I mean, come on.
That's right. I mean, essentially didn't know about it till 7:30 in the morning.
Something's wrong.
Later on when the emails hadn't updated, but yeah, there was something wrong there. This is the key issue here. Companies make mistakes and have issues, sometimes beyond their control, sometimes within their control. But the key is to get out there and be up front and communicate as early as possible and tell everyone what's going
on. That's all you ask. But then the explanation was funny too. It was very vague. It was a problem with Singtel. Singtel says, no, it wasn't. And then she says again, she changes the story. It wasn't all Singtel. And it just left everybody scratching their heads because people who are with Optus, they want reassurance that they know what happened and that it won't happen again.
Well, that's the problem. We're still scratching our heads on that one, aren't we? Maybe there's going to be a government inquiry into this, but we do want to know what's happening.
And the very least why 000 didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Of course, we won't know how this has affected the stock market because it won't, because Singtel Optus is a private company. It's not listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, is it?
That's right. It was removed. It used to be on the stock exchange.
But it's not a public company is what I meant.
No longer a public company, so it's not listed on the share market. Didn't have much impact there at all. You couldn't discern any impact. I think the share market was focused on other things, including the bounce in the oil price.
Exactly. The stock market bounced back a little bit yesterday. Not really significant, but did bounce back. Yes, and you put that on the price of oil?
Basically, if you look at all the sectors, I'll put it in context. The market rose 9 points to 7,058. Yeah, well up from the lows. That's good. But not much of a movement yesterday, only 0.1% in percentage terms. But the big driver of that was energy stocks. They were at 1.3% because the oil price in Friday trade in the US and elsewhere rose 4%. And this is a bit of an odd story here. You know, only a few weeks ago, we were talking about the potential threat of higher oil prices because of the conflict in and around Israel. And of course, that hasn't brought in other countries that in a way that would threaten oil supplies. So consequently, the market's gone back to worrying about rising oil inventories globally. So what's happening here, we all know the story, interest rates have gone up, things are cooling down, less demand for oil, so oil prices have been falling. Then on Friday, we're almost getting down towards 70 cents. $70 a barrel, that is, not 70 cents, yeah, $70 yeah. a barrel. We're almost getting down there again, and the market started to think, well, hang on, this goes too far. OPEC and their other friend, Russia, will cut supply again. And that's why you saw that bounce, this expectation that maybe OPEC will jump in and try and support the oil price. So conflicting forces there. OPEC on the one hand wanting higher oil prices, potentially threatening to cut supply, but weakening demand leading to lower prices. And as we go into next year, if demand keeps weakening, the global economy slows, then one good piece of news out of that might be lower oil prices ultimately. The other thing to note is that if oil price stays roughly where it is even now after that little bounce on Friday, we should be seeing the petrol price at the Bowser in Australia sustainably below $2 a litre.
Okay.
Whereas when I last looked on Motormouth, it was ranging from about $1.94 in Hobart to about $2.10 a litre in Brisbane. That huge range across Australia. Sydney was just below, not where I live. Where I live, it's always a bit of a rip-off, but that's why I say it, always a bit more expensive than anywhere else. The average in Sydney was about $1.98 a litre. But we should be heading, I think, well below $2 a litre if the oil price stays around where it is.
Okay. Quickly, the oil lords and the dollar?
Well, the oil lords, as I mentioned, up very slightly, 0.1%, up 9 points to 7,058. Again, story all in oil there. A bit some gains in financials and banks and consumer discretionary, but lots of other parts of the market down. Aussie dollar, this is doing pretty well as well. For many weeks now, you and I have been talking about it and nothing much happens. And lately, it has started to happen. It's actually the highest in some time, up to 65.50 US cents. So one Aussie dollar will buy you about 65.5 US cents. There you are. And that's all on expectations that the Fed, the US Central Bank, has finished raising interest rates, and through next year they might start cutting interest rates. That's pushing the US dollar down and helping the Aussie dollar rise a little bit.
Shane Oliver, you've done very well again. You should do this for a living. We'll talk tomorrow.
That'd be good, Luke. Take care.
Chief Economist with AMP, Shane Oliver, here on Triple M.